Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rainer's Radio, practical training for joint heirs with Christ, with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening, and welcome to Rainer's Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. We have been talking about signs as a supernatural means of divine guidance, and we want to pick up where we left off last week, talking about asking for signs. Some have no problem asking the Lord to give them a sign, and some people are so put off by the whole concept of asking God for anything. And really, what we want to remember is that God is training you, and He knows how He made you. He knows your history. He knows what you believe and why. And He's fine with that. There's no one way or one approach to knowing Him. This is why we stress so much that the basis of our relationship is not doctrine. It's not what you believe. It's who you know. If you know you are hearing from God and have that confidence that what you're hearing is God and that you're able to test it and that you can have confidence in what you're hearing, what can be impossible? We can then have confidence in healing, in change, in entering rest. We can be at peace with ourselves and with others if we know we are hearing God. Because part of that is having the confidence that we're doing right with Him, that we have a good relationship with Him, that we're on track, not based on how well things are going or how much we're serving Him or even other people's acknowledgments or comments, but that inner knowing. And the more we become comfortable with that, we can then become comfortable with being taught by God in whatever way He chooses. And our goal here in addressing the different options is not, okay, this is what God is doing now. Because guess what? God is doing everything now. He created time. God created time. He is not a slave to it. He can do whatever He wants with time. That's alien to us because we are so programmed to be at the mercy of time. But God is not, and we as spirit beings are not. So to think that you have all the time in the world and then some for God to do what He wants in you to bring you into wholeness, spirit, soul, and body, that's where that peace and rest comes in. In other words, you don't need to worry about how much you're getting done. It's exactly how much God wants to get done. Our measurement, our approach is not his measurement or approach. Because we're reminding ourselves about the three realms of reality, the three levels of nature, the physical, natural level, the supernatural, soulical level, and then the spirit level. There are laws and principles for each one of those levels of reality, and each has their own authority. And the highest authority is that spiritual level. That's where God is, dwells, creates from. And as we are reborn as spirit beings, born again, spirit begets spirit, we also are spirit beings and have that same level of reality, level of authority, level of timelessness. We won't get too far afield into the difference between eternal and age-lasting, but our concept of time very often is what puts us in under such a burden. So whether God is telling you that it's a bad thing to seek a sign, and we talked a little bit, and we'll go over it again, the difference between seeking and asking, but also that God has hidden treasures and he wants us to pursue him and pursue those treasures. God wants to be wanted, and he wants us to want what he has for us. That's part of our relationship, is to seek out that which he has hidden. He has hidden things for us, not from us. Now, of course, there are things that he doesn't tell us everything in our soul and our body. Spiritually, yes. Guess what? You do have all that information, far more than you could possibly comprehend. Eye has not seen or ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man what God has waiting for us right now. And yet, beyond that, there's so much more. We think about what Jesus said when he went to ascend, that these things, greater things, shall you do, because I go to my Father. We aren't even doing the lesser things, let alone the greater things. And that's not to bring any level at all of condemnation. Instead, it's meant to give you encouragement and remind you that the only way to get there is to make mistakes. Whoever makes the most mistakes tries the most things. And whoever tries the most things gets the most things done. Think about that. It's not about getting things right. It's about the learning curve. The only way you can have confidence in learning is if you have confidence in hearing. Once you are confident you are hearing him, he can then tell you, that's not the right way. Come over here. Try this again. Or this is something we need to talk about. Or you're believing a lie. This is something we need to correct. Or there's a wound there that needs to be healed. In other words, you're not on your own. And it's as if we were going through a minefield blind. thinking that if we make a wrong step, we're going to blow ourselves to smithereens and God's never going to talk to us again. Or somebody else is going to be blown to smithereens. And yet it's not a minefield. It's a God field. Every time we go in an area where there's a sensitivity, where we set something off, it's a good thing. Because if there's something there, God wants to reveal everything in that field. And the only way we can do that is if we start moving into those places we thought we weren't allowed, that were dangerous, that if we just occupy till he comes, then we can go be with him in heaven and live eternally sitting on a cloud, playing a harp, doing whatever we think heaven's going to be. I think a lot of people are going to be very disappointed. But for right now, what can we do? We can know God. And one of the big ways he entices us toward him is through giving us a desire for divine guidance. And we've talked about that internal guidance, and now we're talking about the external guidance, the supernatural means. We talked about angels and signs, and we talked about the need for signs, that up until Christ, up until the resurrection, there were very limited ways that God communicated to his people. And everybody was his people. Everybody still is. But those who called themselves after him. But once Christ came, he made a way for us to communicate with Father directly. And that's what we're talking about. So we no longer need signs, but God never wants us to think that, okay, this is off the table. God's going to talk to me this way, but he won't use this way. God is entitled to use whatever way he chooses to communicate with us. I once heard someone say that God will never yell at you. That's a way to tell that it's the devil and not God. And I was thinking about that. Who is anybody to say that God won't do something? I think God's entitled to speak to us, get our attention any way he chooses. And that's not a good way to tell if it's God. The only way is to know his voice. That way it doesn't matter whether he's yelling, whatever that means, or that still small voice, or a nudge, or a lightning bolt, or an angel of light, being able to tell what is God's intent, what is God's desire, because we know his voice. We've got that secret handshake with him. There's only one way to learn it. It's from him. But that way, when that message comes and there's no secrets to handshake, you know it's not from him. So we don't want to exclude the whole notion of asking for signs. If God wants to teach you about signs and how they work and how to recognize them, that's up to him. We don't have anything off the table. besides learning about signs, very often we like to ask for signs because most of us very often don't have that confidence in what we know or have heard from him internally. In other words, we go to external when we're not confident of the internal. But as we work on that, as we cultivate a quietness and a familiarity with the secret handshake, our senses become tuned to the slightest moving of the spirit. So that even when the spirit makes himself known to our spirit or our soul, we can tell what's going on. We can tell what his intent is. We can tell what is next in store for us. This frees the Lord to use whatever means he chooses to express himself to us. He is free to use a sign of one kind or another, and he's also free to not use a sign of one kind or another. Now, there will likely be a time that the Lord will speak to you about signs and maybe in signs so you can become familiar with that form of communication. This is not so that it can become a central pillar of your relationship with him or so that signs can be more important in your ministry, or that this is a new thing God is doing, that he's speaking to us in signs. He always has, he always will. It's never meant to be a distraction from our inner walk with him, our inner relationship. And knowing that the signs are an add-on to our inner knowing, not an in place of, this is the distinction between seeking a sign as a substitute for communication directly and asking for a sign, which is asking to be trained in that form of communication. So what are the purpose of signs in general? As with the other supernatural means of guidance, signs interrupt our present circumstances in order to get our attention. That's it. They're an interruption to get our attention. They are not more important, nor do they carry a greater weight than any other form of communication from God. Signs need to be treated, tested, and interpreted as any other form of guidance. Generally speaking, of a sign. And again, we're just trying to look at signs objectively. We want to get over the mystery. We want to learn about this way that God communicates with his people. So the purpose of a sign will mostly fall into one or more broad categories. And we're going to go through these. Through each one of these, I'm just going to list five categories right now. First is to provide needed information. Second, to provide needed direction and guidance. Third, to provide needed confirmation and encouragement. Fourth, to provide a needed warning. And fifth, to simply get our attention. So first, to provide needed information. Very often, our mind interprets God-given signs as creative inspiration or as a new idea, like Eureka. Providentially running across numbers, places, and names that answer a question, and problem-solving triggered by an external circumstance would fall into this category. In other words, we have a question, we're struggling with a problem, and all of a sudden, the answer comes to us externally. Maybe even we're trying to figure out which way to go. You know, Lord, just give me a sign. I don't know whether we should move or not. And you open your eyes and there's a real estate sign about, you know, hiring a real estate company. Then you go, you test it. Lord, is that you? We always come back to the internal, but that would perfectly fall into the category. Now, you would not want to move forward resting on a real estate sign. But it's meant as encouragement. Informational signs are also a way of testifying to an unbeliever that God exists. We could even just talk about all of creation. When you start looking at the science and history and how we are fearfully and wonderfully made, it is amazing that anybody, especially those in scientific fields and hard sciences, could possibly not embrace the concept of a God. Our existence defies the laws of science that we hold to be true. We should not be here. So that's one of the ways God uses signs, is to provide information that we need. Another purpose of signs is to provide needed direction and guidance. As in the natural, God often uses signs to point us in the right direction or to correct our course if we are off track. This is the real estate sign would probably fall a bit more into this category. All depends on whether you think of direction as information or not. And this is the whole point, is this is all one learning experience. It's not important to go, okay, this is that a sign from God? What category does it fall into? It doesn't matter. Because any of these, the purpose of any sign in the final tally of things is to get your attention to talk to God. So, God often uses signs to point us in the right direction or to correct our course if we are off track, as we like to think. Remembering that signs are only one of many ways God directs us and guides us will keep us from becoming distracted by signs, especially when we are making important decisions. You don't want to be in the situation where you're seeking a sign and God is directing you in five other ways. We don't want to get distracted by our need or desire for a sign. Another purpose of signs is to provide needed confirmation and encouragement. By getting our attention after a decision has been made, or after we have been through a hard training session, God may use signs to reward, strengthen, and build our confidence. Often these signs are witnessed by others to acknowledge the work He has done in one way or another. In other words, there may be signs that you experience and witness that have no other purpose than to acknowledge something in your life. Think about when the Holy Spirit descended on Jesus at baptism in the form of a dove. Some heard him, some heard a voice, some saw things, there were different explanations about that sign. But it was a testimony that God was well pleased. Jesus was doing good. He was on the right track. And Father encouraged him that way, publicly. So signs aren't always full of meaning. This is, again, why it's so important that we can hear God for ourselves and be able to test everything we experience. Signs are also there to provide a needed warning. God is able to engage whatever means necessary to bring our attention to a danger, whether an event or a person who intends us harm, or a warning regarding our own behavior. God will often dramatically use a sign to warn a people group or even unbelievers when the consequences of refusing to depend on Him are about to be released. We get so confused about signs, and we put such stock in them, and yet we fail to ask the Lord for explanations for what they really mean. One of the big things is, you know, here in America, we're always looking for the sign of the end of days that California is going to fall into the ocean. Things like that, that there's going to be plagues and there's going to be war and this, you know, we look for signs to indicate the end of days. And so when anything at all, like there's a drought out in California and there's a plague, you know, rising in different places and all these different things. And if we look strictly to the signs, we will come up with our own interpretation. And even if it's accurate, it will not bring life. And that's what we want. We don't want just understanding. We want to experience God's eternal life. So regardless of what signs you think you may be seeing, or signs being expressed to believers and unbelievers alike, your first impulse can be to take it to Him, take it to God. God, what is this from You? Am I supposed to be paying attention to this? What does it mean? Is this for me? Should I care about this? And then finally, signs are to simply get our attention. And we'll pick it up here, because we are then going to talk about spectacular signs versus subtle signs. But the bottom line of signs is God, one of God's ways to get our attention. Our attention not to the sign, but to him. So thanks for tuning in. Get in touch with me at diane@therainersclub.org. We'll get together again next Sunday at the same time. Until then, thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas of Rainers Radio. Have a great night.